Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name again is Jeffrey Davis, and we are here at the Mage Studios in Boston, Massachusetts. Our next guest, not even a guest, he's a reporter of international business from Boston College, and a man of many hats, Greg Stoller. Welcome back, Greg.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I just wish I had more hair for those hats.
We all do, Greg. Greg, you are Mr. Globetrotter right now, and there's a lot of things going on. You know, you're tied into China. You're tied into France. You just came back from France. I just want to turn on the mic and say, let her rip. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I think as much as France was exciting and exhilarating, and I'm very much looking forward to talking about that, the more important issue right now is what's happening in Hong Kong. And I wish I could tell you that things have ameliorated themselves or have come to a quick stop. But for the moment, things are stuck in neutral. Just to get our listeners up to date, where we were a week and a half ago is the protests were pretty much at a lull. I believe that the protesters had been up for 72 hours continuously and they needed rest. And those of us who don't live in Hong Kong were wondering whether they were going to revert to normal, meaning life was going to revert to normal, etc. The protesters came back. They erected barricades with power tools. Then the Hong Kong police responded and brought in larger power tools to unerect or basically break down those barriers. Then the students finally got the opportunity to speak with CY Leung, who is the chief executive of Hong Kong. And according to that meeting, he indicated that Beijing's opinion is not going to change, that people in Hong Kong will still receive one vote per each person. However, the slate will be determined by the Beijing government, with the stipulation being that the candidates on that slate have to love the country, meaning mainland China, as well as loving Hong Kong. And that's where we are right now.
And your thoughts?
My thought initially was that this was going to quietly, you know, just stop and people were going to get back to normal. I'm wondering now whether the protesters are going to get even more frustrated and we're going to see something else. The issue, Jeffrey, is this, that Beijing does not want to set a precedent in any direction. They don't want to set a precedent that if people are going to protest enough, that the chief executive is either going to voluntarily step down or is going to get reassigned by the government. They don't want to see people protest and have policy change, even if people aren't going to be asked to step down or voluntarily resign. And they certainly do not want to attract the worldwide media attention worrying about Tiananmen Part 2, hearkening from 1989 until today.
Wow. I feel bad for the protesters. I have, you know, obviously the democratic tendencies that I have, it plays to the Western person. But, you know, I don't think China is going to bend to any public opinion. That's just not been their way for generations.
Well, as we've spoken about on this broadcast a multitude of times, I do not like to introduce either religion or politics into my classes. I just don't think it's appropriate since I'm not a teacher of political science. But as I've described to my students, and I'll describe them for the benefit of our listeners, you can make this case on either side. From the Hong Kong side, it is the democratic card, as you were indicating, is that Hong Kong has always had universal suffrage and they should be permitted to continue that universal suffrage. From China's perspective, they now control it. They've owned it since 1997 when it reverted. They haven't made a single change in Hong Kong since 1997, which they promised to keep it the same for roughly 10 years. They've more than exceeded that 10-year window. And now they're saying, we're not taking away universal suffrage per se. We're simply indicating our desire to previously vet what we consider to be a slate of candidates. And then when we've established those candidates, you are welcome to select from amongst them.
I got it. Now, France, was that shocking for you?
France was really terrific. I was very appreciative of the opportunity. I was part of this university as they were having their fourth international week, La Semaine Internationale en Français, and I was there for the third consecutive year, and we had the first part of my odyssey, for lack of a better term, is that I taught a three-day course on cross-cultural communication. I had 48 students from seven different nationalities, none of whom was a native speaker of English. And the pièce de résistance was that on the final day, I had the students present in 8 six-person teams. Each of those six-person teams without having a single native English speaker delivered exceptionally strong and exceptionally relevant business topic presentations that were on par with a lot of what we see in the United States. The following week, different students arrived, this time from the United States, from India, and from Germany, and we brought them through an entire international week. If you combine the existing students who hearkened from Poland and France and other nationalities, we had almost 150 students running around, and we did a whole international week that we had cross-functional team building, we had cross-cultural team building, we had presentation exercises, we threw in some museum tours, some cultural relevance in terms of information on vineyards, and it was just absolutely fantastic.
Wow. And give us some deeper opinions about the whole process and what's going on in France.
I think that France is feeling it economically. You can definitely see it on, unfortunately, the faces of who you speak with. It's certainly not as bad as Spain in terms of, you know, 20 plus percent unemployment. It's just everything is sort of stuck in neutral, is that people are getting frustrated with President Hollande, but his term of office isn't going to be ending anytime soon. They saw Scotland that was unable to secede from the European Union. So politically, things aren't really moving in any direction. Economically, I think things are probably improving themselves, but not at the rate that people would like. You know, in a phrase, Jeffrey, I just don't see consumer confidence being as strong right now as it is in the United States. And we've been there. And, you know, I think back to 08, 09, 2010, I remember when consumer confidence wasn't so great. We've talked about it on this broadcast as well. You just feel like you are permanently stuck, as I mentioned earlier, in neutral.
Wow. So what do you think they're going to do about it?
I think that, for lack of a better term, time will tell. I think they're going to work it out. I'm a firm believer that every economy, whether it's, you know, the hugest economies of those in the United States or in China, et cetera, go through 8 to 10 year economic booms and busts. You know, the United States, we all metaphorically thought the world was coming to an economic end. At the height of our recession a few years ago, we certainly are not bulging at the seams with consumer confidence in this country yet. I would still agree with a lot of the pundits who describe it as a fragile economy, but we certainly have recovered from what happened, you know, in that 3-year period. And I've no doubt that Europe is going to recover, that they are going to be better for it on the other side. China right now is on the hot seat economically as well. I think they're going to make it, but it's not going to be easy lifting for anybody. It's just going to take time.
Tell us about the students. Did you notice a lot of difference between students of different countries or the attitudes?
Was there conflicts? I was very, very fortunate. Of all of the years I've been going to France, this was probably my best ever experience with the students. It just, everything sort of clicked. And I wish I could tell you that I had some you know, huge plan behind it or some surreptitious, you know, pixie dust that I was using. It just sort of worked. The students were extremely responsive. They had a lot of high energy. They did every one of the assignments I asked them to do and probably exceeded it by 5 or 10%. They remained completely laid back, which is so different from the United States. I did a lot of blogging when I was on there, by the way, on my www.bclob.com blog. So I posted videos and pictures on a daily basis, and I think people felt this esprit de corps. I think they felt the excitement, and the work product was just fantastic, both not only for my own 3-day course, but also for La Semaine Internationale, the international week which followed.
Wow. It sounds like you're having a busy time, and now you're back, stateside?
Yes, I'm back stateside. I'd like to believe we haven't missed a beat at Boston College. My international consulting students, that's the course where we do consulting for 6 months for my clients in Beijing, and then I will travel over with the students in January so they can present the results of their research twice, once to my client and a second time to the client's clients. While I was in France, they sent their interim semester reports over to the client for their feedback. And I have 100 other MBA students who are involved in my business plan course. They just submitted their interim reports for the entrepreneurs they're working for. We're about to give them written feedback, and they will move to their final reports that are going to be completed by the end of November. And then the competitions, the elevator pitch competition, the final competition are going to happen the first week of December.
Two questions. Based upon the changes in the world, are students changing what they're looking for from you? And are you changing the way you're delivering your educational format at all based upon what's going on in the world?
Those are really two terrific questions. The first
That's because you sent them to me ahead of time.
No. Yeah, right. I have noticed that the students are, whether they're American students, whether they're European students, et cetera, for some reason, in the past year or so, the students have become extremely responsive in terms of their approach to higher education, i.e. graduate school. I don't know if it's just luck of the draw. I don't think it is. I just find that the students are really diligently working a lot harder than, say, they might have 3 to 5 years ago, and the work product speaks for themselves. And I also think, at least based on what I'm seeing, that students are getting jobs. They're really getting taken through task during the interview process, but they seem to be doing well. In terms of my approach, I am trying, you know, it's sort of like with one thing begets the other. The better the students do their job and the more attentive the students are, the more excited I get. So I bring that much more energy to the classroom. I am continuing to try and focus on practical experiences for our students so that they just have that many more feathers in their cap when they go through either the summer internship or the post-graduation interview approach.
Wow, there's a lot going on in Greg Stoller world.
Yes, almost as much as Jeffrey Davis world.
I feel like it's like I'm calling Pee-wee Herman, you know, in Pee-wee's Playhouse. It's Greg Stoller's Playhouse, and what's going on today?
Yeah, but can we just amend that to be a business playhouse?
I didn't ask you what you're doing with your free time or what kind of movies you're going to. Mr. Stoller, if somebody wants to try to catch hold of the comet called Greg Stoller, how would they find you?
Is that comet or comic? they can reach me either through my blog, which is BC or Best Companies Language of Business. That's www.bclob, as in languageofbusiness.com, or through my BC email address, which is gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu, gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu.
Greg Stoller, thanks a lot. It's always exciting to speak with you, find out what's going on in the world because you have your feet down on the ground. I'm sure your family's glad to see you again, and we look forward to seeing you as well.
Well, thank you as always for the opportunity to join you. It's good to reconnect, and I look forward to doing it in person after I'm all caught up in the business world.
Great. So. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm host, and that was Greg Stoller from Boston College School of International Business. Thanks, Greg. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.